Welcome to the Dag Heward Mills podcast. Dag Heward Mills podcast is a broadcast outreach of Dag Heward Mills Ministries, which has the duty to bring you the very best from the vast teaching archive of healing evangelist, best-selling author, and megachurch pastor, Dag Heward Mills. This Thursday's teaching is all about the power contained in the words and conversations of Jesus Christ. Bishop Dag will take a closer look at the words of the Son of God and how he related with others. Today's message will provide you with an example of how you can be more like Christ in your speech and conduct. No man has ever spoken like Jesus Christ has, and his words have outlasted any other words spoken by any other person. Enjoy today's message as Bishop Dag brings to life some of the words of the greatest teacher who ever lived.
Father, we thank you so much for tonight. Thank you for the opportunity, Lord, that we have in you to come before your word, to come into your presence. Lord, we ask you to guide us, to speak to our hearts. Let your will be done. Thank you for another evening in your presence. We could have been elsewhere. We could have been dead. But here we are in your presence, and we say thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Are you glad to be in church? Great. We are looking at Jesus Christ. We just had a powerful crusade in Addis Adel College Park. The Lord blessed us. Amen. Tonight, we want to look at the discussions of Christ. The discussions of Christ. Last week, we looked at Christ and his estimate of a soul. And tonight, we want to look at the discussions or the conversations of Christ. Unfortunately, it is not easy to get much or many of Christ's conversations or discussions to comment on. Or even analyze. But we do have a few. And for these, we thank God for a glimpse into the mind and heart and nature of Christ and of God. Hallelujah. Now, why are we going to look at the discussions of Christ? Why are we going to look at the conversations of Christ? Because we want our conversations to be like Christ's conversations. And I want you to see how near your discussions are to the discussions of Jesus Christ. You could also call this message the chatting life of Christ. When Christ chats, Christ is chatting with you. What will he chat about? Hallelujah. Now, for this analysis, we are going to avoid Christ's discussions with his disciples, because we would assume that he was trying to impart as much as possible into their lives before he left them after 3 years. So, and it's very difficult to get Christ talking to anybody else apart from his disciples. It was all the discussions and all the things, you know, He was talking to his disciples, explaining things to them and showing them, my father's house, there are many mansions and all this. If whatever you ask my father and my neighbor, I'll give it to you. But I have at least one or two of these discussions. I'm very happy that I found them. How many want to learn about the conversation of Christ? When Christ is having a conversation with you, what is it like? Turn with me to John chapter 3. Hallelujah. John chapter 3. A conversation. The discussions of Christ. Now, have you seen the discussion? Verse 1. Christ is chatting. Everybody say, Christ is chatting. Amen. He's met somebody who is not in his group, and he's going to have a chat with the person. He's going to have a discussion. Do you understand? When I say discussion, it means that the person will say, then Christ will also say, the person will say, then Christ will say, and so on. It's wonderful. So we just have very few of these, but they are glimpses. They are glimpses. One day I saw a book by somebody, I think it was about Catherine Kuhlman, and the person said, I think the book is called A Glimpse into Glory. You know, just a glimpse is like a very short, brief look at something. A glimpse. So we have a glimpse into Christ's social life, discussions, chatting. Amen. Amen. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. And the same came to Jesus by night. Huh? In the evening. You see, they are laying the setting out nicely for you. It was in the evening. Crusades were over. Church was over. And Christ was alone. And here comes somebody just for a chat or to visit. Amen. Amen. This was a very wonderful private discussion. And I think John, you know, being a teenager, was allowed, I don't know whether he was the one who was always around, because you see, what John wrote is different from what everybody else wrote. He wrote details of questions and answers, discussions. So I think he was a kind of secretary. Do you understand? Recording what everybody else says. You know, there are some people, when they are around, you're having a meeting, when they're around, you feel tense, so you won't talk. But there are some people, when they're around, it's like you are non-scoring. So you just say whatever you feel like saying. So, the man said, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher, come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Everybody say, the man has brought himself. You see, what God is showing us here is that people will bring themselves. And when they bring themselves, you must converse with them fully after the pattern of Christ. I'm showing you how to have conversations. This is Christ in conversation, Christ in discussion. The man has brought himself. You are sitting with God and you make a comment. No one can do any of these things except God be with him. And Jesus answered. Everybody say, answer, answer. Answer the question. Now, the cleverer you are, when you are being interviewed, you can always answer a question without getting into trouble. The person usually who is chosen to be the minister of information or the PRO is usually, he is good at answering questions without giving the answer. Yeah. He answers the question, but he never gives the answer to the question that was asked. And he still gets good marks. So you watch them on television, those spokespeople for the government, when they ask them a question about something very, very important, they will just answer, but they will say what they want to say about something else. And the time gets finished. It's wonderful. So learn, those of you who are journalists, learn how to give answers and take the discussion to what you want to talk about. Because this man said, we know that thou art a teacher brought from God. And so Jesus now was taking the thing somewhere. So you need to be able to control the conversation. And Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. If we want to follow Christ, then our conversations, are you there? Must go along this same line. Where we must tell people, unless you are born again, you will not go to heaven. Amen. But how many of us, in our discussions, tell people that they must be born again? How many of us? That Jesus met this guy. And the guy was just chatting. Actually, coming to look at it, he didn't even ask a question. He said, we know that you are a teacher. We've been discussing in the house. And for no one can do these things except God be with him. So when he said, and Jesus answered, it looks as though the man was asking a question, but he was just chatting. Now Jesus took the discussion to, except you are born again. You cannot go to heaven. You go to hell. Say, hey, Jesus. Everybody here in your office, if you chat with anybody in your school, if you chat with anybody, it is your duty to tell the person, Kwesi, unless you are born again, you will not go to heaven. Or another way is you will go to hell. Christ's discussions went straight to being born again. Why do you meet somebody who is not born again and have even 5 minute discussion with the person without the person knowing that he's being born again? We are a totally backslidden church. That is why when we meet unbelievers, we talk on their terms. We talk about politics. We talk about soccer. We talk about everything, but we never talk about what a Christian should talk about. If you are a Christian and you meet somebody, you are chatting, you are having a conversation. Your duty is straight. Straight. As soon as God comes in. Except. Except. The last time I was going to America, the guy was going through my passport. I was asking me, what do I do? He's brought himself. Yeah, he brought himself. And I said, I'm a pastor, I'm a preacher. He said, what church? I'm now entering the country. Where's Big Daddy? He was there with me. The guy was questioning me, which church? So what are you coming to do here? So this and that, I don't know how it came up that I was also a doctor. Because normally I don't even bother, but it came up. He said, you're a doctor? You can't practice here. I said, who said I cannot practice? I said, all my mates are practicing here. I can also practice here. Then they had something that you have to put your hand on. And I told the guy that this thing is spreading infection. He's spreading diseases by everybody put his dirty finger on this. Then we also come and put our finger on it. Then he looked at me. He was shocked. I said, we clean it sometimes. I said, it's a very dangerous thing that you have. So then I said to the guy, as we were talking, I said, so are you born again? Then he looked. I said, I told him, unless you are born again, you go to hell. Then he went back like that. What? And he was looking through my back. He was the one going to admit to America. I said, I'm telling you. Then he said, thank you very much indeed for telling me that I'll go to hell. I said, oh yeah, if you are not born again, you will go to hell. And he was looking through my passport. He said, thank you. I said, do you go to church? I said, it's very important that you go to church. You have to give your life to Jesus Christ. You have to be born again. I talked to the white man at the place. By the time I finished, he had been to church. He had received message, everything. At the border control. Yeah. But most of us, you'll be afraid. Say, Lord, let him give me 6 months. Let him give me 3 months. Let him enter. Oh Lord, blind his eyes from asking me foolish questions. Except you are born again, you will not go to heaven. And Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Ash. Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, you see, discussion, this is Christ in conversation. Christ is relaxed. Give me a chair, let me relax and have a conversation. Yes. Christ was just chatting. And he said, verily I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter. Enter. Then he said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. This is a discussion in the evening. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. Then he told them, don't be surprised. Okay, come and let me discuss with you. Bring your chair. Bring your chair. You want to sit on the floor. Okay. Marvel not that I say that you must be born again. Don't be surprised. Wow. Yeah, it's wow that you say. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. I know you don't understand it, because even we don't understand it. Do you think Nicodemus understood it? I don't think so. Then Nicodemus answered and said, how can these things be? How? Just chatting. And Jesus answered and said, are thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? Are thou a master and knowest not these things? That except a man is born of the Spirit and of water, he cannot enter. Are thou a master? You've forgotten. Verily, verily, I say unto you, we speak what we do know, and we testify what we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and you believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? Charlie, how many realize that your chatting is different from Christ chatting? Your discussions are different from Christ's discussions. And now, Christians are being taught more of how to fit into the world and to sort of assimilate and don't offend people and try to just be one of them so that you can win them through your good life. Your good life cannot win anybody. Your good life is a pillar and support of the truth. It's not the truth. Your life and the good conduct of your behavior is a pillar. Bible says in Timothy, it's a pillar and a support of the truth. But that's not the truth. The truth must be spoken. Then your life holds up the truth or supports the truth that you are sharing. You can't just say, oh, by my quiet behavior, but if Jesus Christ had come to be quiet and just be, try to be nice, to be sweet to children, to be nice to orphans, and so on, do you think people will be saved? No, you are not saved by good behavior. God has chosen that by the foolishness of preaching. Take notes. I don't think he told them to take notes when he was chatting with them. And he said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whomsoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This is Christ discussing. Then the famous verse, we never knew that it came from a discussion, a conversation. He said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might believe. Amen. By be saved. Alright? He that believeth on him is not condemned. These are the chattings. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. How many of you tell your people at your workplace, if you don't believe, you are condemned? You tell your work at your workplace, Uncle Sam, if you don't believe, you are a condemned man. Have you been to condemn cell before? Uncle Joe, you are condemned though, if you don't believe. Uncle Roland, you are a condemned man if you don't believe. Auntie Susie, you are a condemned sister if you don't believe. And most of you are trying to gain. You see, the guy that I was witnessing to, it was at the airport, New York or New Jersey. He became on the defensive. He was on the defensive. Because I'm coming from Africa and you are asking me so many questions. In fact, he stood up. He was no more sitting down. He stood up during the, what do you call it? So he was standing and I was standing. And I was telling him, you need to. I said, if you are not born again, you go to hell. He looked at me, he was surprised. I said, how can I say something? I said, yeah, it's very important. You must be saved. But we've stopped witnessing. In fact, you don't even know how to witness. You don't even know what you say. All you know is, come to my church. Shame. I said, shame. All you know is come to my church. I'll take you to my church. My church is Lighthouse. My church is Angel Delight. Shame. My pastor is good. My pastor can preach, but what a shallow, empty shell you are. What an empty Christian you are. All you can do is to say, my pastor can preach, pa. All you can do is say, come to my church. But look at Jesus. Explain, say, are thou a master of the Jews and you don't know these things? Unless you are born of water and of the Spirit, you cannot enter except a man is born again. And God sent not his Son into the world to condemn, but that the world through him might be saved. Do you know what it means to be condemned? We can preach about this for hours. 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 God sent not his Son. You are condemned. Maybe you should all visit condemned cells. Then you know what it means to be condemned. When you are there, you are condemned. When you are not there, you are not condemned. There are people at James Fort now
They are not yet condemned. But when they finish the court case and they say you are sentenced to death, then you go to that place, then you are condemned. But whilst you are at this place, you are not condemned. It's when you are transferred to the other side, you are condemned. It means that your case is finished. You are supposed to die. But whilst you are on this earth, you are not supposed to die. That if you die, it's over. And you don't know Christ, you are condemned. And this is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world. And men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Christ is chatting with a man. He said, men like darkness more than light. But what do you chat about? Roper. You see what they call the Roper. NDC have gone out of MPP. And you want to be current. You want to show that, you know, the stock exchange, the stock levels, the price of this and that. And you want to show that you are trendy. Okay. You are nothing. I want to be like Jesus. I want to be like Jesus. Look, at every level, you can try to be like people. Everything, you want to be like this group. Every group you want to be. Even as a pastor in my position. One day I was going for a meeting, and there were a lot of other pastors. And the Lord said to me, there is sin over there when you go. You will sin. At that meeting, you will sin. When you go and see all those other pastors who are your colleagues. You see, because many times when you see people who are like your colleague, you sin by becoming something that you are not supposed to be. You want to line up and adjust yourself to be like somebody who is different from the way God has called you to be. Even as a pastor. Even as a pastor. Everybody's like this, you want to be like that. Everybody's doing this, you want also to do that. Everybody of this age category is doing this or having this, you also want to. Maybe that is not your calling. And so the Lord said to me, that place you are going this evening, there is a sin there. And many times I have gone into certain fellowships of others who are like me, and before I realize, I'm becoming engrossed in some kind of problem. Christ didn't mind if people did not think he was into current affairs. Forget it. Take it that I'm a cake. Take it that I don't know physics. Take it that I've not been to school. Take it that I don't have any education. I went once to preach, and I was preaching at church, and they were talking about, they said the church or the people in the marketplace. What is a marketplace? The marketplace where people are working and doing business and so on. And that was my topic. I should preach about the church in the marketplace. But I was lucky that in the topic there was the word kingdom. The kingdom and the marketplace. So I used the kingdom to enter into Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom. Eesh. I couldn't get to the marketplace. One may ask, what is the kingdom? It was only the word kingdom that saved me that night. Because I didn't know what I was going. When I sat down, I asked the pastor, I said, explain the topic to me again. My secretary has explained it, but you need to explain further. What is the marketplace? That time we're doing the praises for me to come and preach you. So when he finished explaining, I said, you know, I must use the word kingdom to pass into what I can preach about. Because I don't know the marketplace. I don't know the marketplace. I don't know what's going on. Yeah. Yeah. One guy came to criticize me, said, I don't know how to speak English. I said, take it that I don't know how to speak English. I don't know how to speak English. Me and you don't know how to speak English. But it doesn't matter. Because sometimes when I preach, you think I don't know how to speak English. But it doesn't matter. You know, why do you want to be like a certain group? It doesn't matter. Because my preaching is to, I'm preaching to people. And the people I'm preaching to must understand what I'm talking about. Yeah. Whether I speak good English or I speak the Queen's English or what English, I don't care. Once the people understand what I'm talking about. And I can teach them one or two things to flow with the message. I went to a church of a different country. When I started preaching, I said, learn a yegbeye. I taught all of them. Before I realized they were off, yegbeye, why? Yegbeye, boy. They are not Ghanaians, though. The whole church. Yegbeye, why? At least the people I'm preaching to understand what I'm talking about. I don't have to be like others. Christ didn't mind talking about the spirit, the born again, heaven, this, that. Christ condemned hell, heaven, born of water, born of the spirit. This was in discussions. Answer, question, discussion. Agbasani. This is our faith discussion. This I'm talking tonight about the discussions of Christ. That's why sometimes when I send people as missionaries, I say, I don't want you to be full-time from day one. Because when you are full-time, you cannot meet unbelievers to have discussions. You must go into the marketplace. The kingdom in the marketplace. And have discussions in the marketplace. And if you are Christ-like, soon they will brand you as the preacher of hell. Well, at least you be like Jesus. At least you be like Jesus. Some of you are so happy when they compare you to some, you know, to some white homosexual. One time I saw one of our pastors. I realized that he wanted so much to be accepted by white people. It was his dream. He wanted to have an accent that would make him like Americans and for Americans to like him. You see, but that's one of the things you must realize that you will never be accepted. You are not one anyway. Even that you will not be accepted, but why should they accept you? Because you are not. You are from somewhere. You are from Bekwa. You are from, Kranza. You are from somewhere. Yeah. But we want it so much. And we pay such a high price to be like something God hasn't called. Sit down. Talk about these things that you are scared to say. Condemn. Talk about condemn. Talk about condemnation. God did not send his son into the... Tell them the reason why they don't believe is because they love darkness more than light. Tell them and then be odd in the office. But you don't want to be odd. You want to be assimilated. You want to be liked. You want everybody to want you. And you want them to say, hey, Chale, you are welcome. Hey, you there, we like your krifeo. Your krifeo is very... I mean, you are the type that... fellowship accommodating you. I mean, you mix with the common people. This guy, he feels that he's better than others. When we came, he told us that we won't go to heaven unless we are born again. He told us that we are in darkness. He told us that we are condemned. Hey, I want to be like Jesus Christ. How many want to be like Jesus Christ? Stand up if you want to be like Jesus Christ. I want to see if there's somebody in the house who wants to be like Jesus Christ. If you want to be like Mr. Van der Lecht, sit down. If you want to be like Mr. Van Hevel, you may take your seat. You want to be like Mr. Bush, sit down. You want to be like Mr. Blair? Sit down. You want to be like Christ? I say you want to be like Christ? One day I was traveling. I was sitting by one of the ministers. Ministers of this country. I mean, political ministers. And I immediately began my discuss. I asked him. You see him on television all the time. So, are you born again? It was in the night. It was a night flight. And I was trying to be like Christ, my Savior. We had taken off into the air. We were going in the night about 11 p.m., 12 midnight. And we were talking. I was discussing with him salvation. I said, are you saved? Are you born again? Then I said to him, but the last time I saw you on television, it was Islamic something something day. And then I saw you, you went to kneel down with the people. And when they were doing Allah Kubala, you were also doing it. How do you say you are born again? I asked him. In conversation. I'm talking about discussions. I said, I'm talking about Christ discussions. But most of you would have been, hey, yes, sir. Oh, please, can I serve you some tea? Oh, sir. Oh, oh, sir. Oh, sir. Oh, sir. Can't you see that your oh, sir, it doesn't promote you in life? You are just like one of the soppy people around who are just sucking up and licking bottoms all the time. When I spoke to the guy at the immigration, I told him you must be born again. He started to stamp my thing and gave me more years to be there. Because he saw that I was not afraid of him. I was rather warning him not to go to hell. This minister of state, I told him, I said, ah, are you a Muslim or a Christian? I asked him, you say you are a Christian. Are you a Muslim or a Christian? Identify yourself. Christian ministers, the Christian people who claim to be Christian, they don't identify themselves when they are in politics. You see them worshiping every God. You see them joining everything. They can never take a stand for anything. But you look at the Muslims, even we should learn from Muslims. Muslims are very sure of what they believe. They are very determined about what they believe. They will not compromise. They stand for what they, if he's in politics, he will ensure that his religion is enhanced through his position. But that's why you don't see them here. That's why you don't see them here. They cannot stay here. If they come here and I start to preach, you can't stay in the church. Because after some time, you will think that I have pinpointed you because all the messages will be coming in your direction. It's not that I don't like you, but the Bible, when I read it, you see that it has affected you. Discussions of Christ. More people will be saved and the church will become clearly demarcated. Even in school. When you go to secondary school, you know, I was preaching. I said, give your life to Christ. So a whole lot of them, almost the whole school, but still there were some guys there. So I decided to apply a certain revelation, which I call the last call. And I told them that one day I had a certain guy who backslidden from our church. And I called him. I called him, and he turned off his phone. And I called him again, and he turned off his phone. And I called him again. Every time I call him, he turned off. So after some days and weeks, I said that this guy, I'm going to call him again. But I'm going to give him the last call. When I call his phone and he doesn't answer, I will delete his phone, his number from my phone. So I remember where I was. I rang, I took the number and I dialed. When he saw my number, he turned off his phone again. Then I took the number and I scrolled down. Then I saw options. Options. What are your options? After you have heard the last call, when God has called you for the last time, what are your options? And I scrolled down to delete and I pressed delete. And the phone asked me a question. Are you sure? Are you sure that you want to delete this man's name? I said, yes, I am sure. Delete it. So, I told the students, I said, this is the last call. after this call, you will be deleted. Come now. And you should have seen them coming. Hardened guys. I said, hey, secondary school too, there are hardcore people that need such a last call, utter call. After I've finished the utter call, I have to do last call. There are people that are hardened in the schools, hardened in their houses, hardened in politics, hardened everywhere. We have to tell them, rather than claiming that we have a crossover appeal. Crossover, I have a crossover appeal. I appeal to unbelievers and I appeal to Christians. That's what a lot of musicians are doing. Say, we have a crossover appeal. That's why my song, they use it for, they dance to, they listen, unbelievers listen to it. Unbelievers listen to it. Unbelievers smooch with your music. Oh yeah, whoa, gonna baby, want to love you, oh, love you. Then at the end, then they add, Jesus. So that it will cross over from the church to the world. And they'll be singing the song like neutral, as if it's a neutral song. You can do it, yeah. You can make it, yeah. You can do it, yeah. I tell you, you can, you can, you can. Jesus. Hey! Hey, hey! You've got a crossover appeal. Cross over my foot. You are a totally backslidden singer. That is why your songs are used in discos. And that is why unbelievers love it. He said, men love darkness rather than light. When Christ came and he spoke and he spoke and he spoke, they crucified him. They didn't make him a king. They crucified him. So my brothers and sisters, we are too different. Pastor Devil, do you agree with me that we are too different from Christ? My message is imago Christi, the image of Christ, following Christ, trying to copy Christ. I'm talking about Christ in the evening, chatting with a man who is not a disciple. What does he talk about? When the man said, oh, you know, in town, everybody realized that you are somebody who God has sent. Oh, really? Let me tell you, except you are born again, you will not go to heaven. Huh? And then he preached to the man. Let me just finish the last two points. Then we can see if there's another discussion somewhere. Where is it? Sit down, sit down. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may what? All right. Now, this was Jesus chatting with a man. Let's see what Christ's discussion with a girl. How many would like to see when Christ meets a young girl? I mean, a girl who a lot of guys are after. What do you think? I mean, a young, beautiful girl. I mean, a girl with a history. I mean, a girl who strikes all the young men and one who has been struck by all. Turn with me to John chapter 4. I'm talking about the discussions of Christ. John chapter 4, verse 4. And he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he, verse 5, to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his own son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there, and Jesus therefore being wearied with his journey, now he was tired, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. Hallelujah. Are you there? It was about the sixth hour. What time is the sixth hour? 12 noon. Hot afternoon. The first one was evening discussion. This is midday. And this one, we have got a woman. First, we had a man. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, it seems I know you somewhere. Jesus said to her, it seems I know you somewhere. it seems we've met. Are you the cousin of a lady? Well, let's read. And Jesus said to her, lady, your dress is not bad at all. Your hairstyle, baby. Keep saying, is that not what you say? Keep saying, is that not what you say? Give me to drink. Give me some of the water. Now his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. I'm sure John was with him to record. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou being a Jew askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Are you there? Everybody say, she has brought herself. You see, every time you have a discussion or a chat or a conversation, the person will bring himself. And when the person brings himself, Charlie, you got the open door. Straight. Take it all the way. So he said, she asked, how come thou askest me of drink, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. And Jesus answered and said unto her, when I see a beautiful girl, I can't resist but ask her for some water. And Jesus answering said unto her, young lady, when I see a beautiful girl like you fetching water, of course I would ask, where do you work, baby? Can I come to you, baby? And Jesus answered and said unto her, baby, you look lonely tonight. Meanwhile, it's afternoon. Say, you look lonely tonight. Hey, yegbe ye. And some of us ladies, when they tell us your dress is nice, your hair is nice, then you will be flying to the pink clouds. Oh, hey, my boy. Jesus answered and said unto him, if thou knewest the gift of God. You see, he's so spiritual, the gift of God. I mean, when you start discussing, you start talking the gift of God, the gifts of God. If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Now, if your Bible is in red and black, the black part is the woman talking, and the red is when Jesus is talking. Have you seen that? Now, because she is a woman, she talks more than the man. So you see that Nicodemus, just one sentence, but the woman so much talking before Jesus has the answer. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah. So Jesus just has to say one, and the man will talk plenty. Then he will answer. Small one. Then she will talk plenty. Okay. So the woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence hast thou that living water? Jesus has changed the topic to living water. Eesh. He has changed the topic to living water. I don't need no Coca-Cola. I just want that living water. Living water, living water. I don't need your Coca-Cola. Hey! Then verse 12. Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? You see, the woman is talking. Are you greater than Jacob, who gave us this well? But they are just chatting about the well. Jesus is sitting down. Jesus is sitting by the well, and he's chatting with the woman. Are you greater than Jacob, the well, this, that? He has brought the topic living water. Living water. The first one, brought born again. Then the man started to ask, so how can you be born again? Then Jesus brought living water. Said, how do you give living? Where are you going? You don't have any bucket. How are you going to fetch that living water? And Jesus said, if you knew. And the man said, what do I not know? What do I not know? Every area, there's something you can bring up. Life and death. When Princess Diana died, I was sitting at Novotel waiting for Archbishop Duncan Williams. We were having a meeting there. And as I was waiting for him, I was sitting by this white man. And we were all watching. That was the day Princess Diana had been buried. We were all sitting there quiet. Then we were just looking. I think there was some television on and this news about Princess Diana all day long. Everybody was depressed. So I turned to the man and said, do you believe in God? And the man, a white man, a French man or something, he said, yeah, you know, I was thinking about that today. No? He said, I was wondering whether it was just a piece of meat. Because he said, then I have turned into a piece of meat. He brought himself fully. Jesus changed the topic. When you meet a horse owner, you can talk about the horses in Revelation. The red horse and the black horse and the white horse that come, the pale horse. What is the profession? You can talk. Something will come up. Then you just turn it there. No, I'm not saying you should do anything. I'm not saying.
When we went to the church today, the bishop told us that when we are speaking to people, we mustn't speak about anything except this heaven and hell.
No, I didn't say that. I said, be like Jesus Christ. That's what I said. And I'm saying, when Jesus spoke to people, they knew. How come? Let me tell you, it is a bad sign when unbelievers like you. You see, one day I told my wife, I said, you look at this guy. We were at a gathering. And I told her, I said, if I come there, the guy will go away. But I think I told her after. Because I watched the guy. I said, I'm going to see whether the guy will go away. So I went there. He was talking to some other people. And I went there. I greeted him. Oh, hello, hello. As I stood there, within a few seconds, he made a U-turn. And he was going. Then somebody called him. Then I decided to do another test to confirm. So as the guy stopped him just by me, I decided to walk away.
So I walked away and I waited to see whether he would still go, and he didn't go. So I realized that it was when I came that he wanted to go away. Because men love darkness rather than light. When light comes, they don't want it. It's true. How come you must be pleased? Everybody must like you. Hey, my mother likes me, my father likes me, my uncle likes me, my this likes me, my this likes me. Recently, I went to visit my uncle who was sick. When I came, you know, I drove a long journey to see him. When I got there, he was so happy to see me. He was so happy. He was not well. He was so happy that I came. Now, when I left, you know, my cousin called me and said, hey, how our father was so happy that you came. He became well. And he said, because Dad has come to visit me. Dad has come to visit. You know, and I remember years ago, this same uncle was trying to persuade me away from the things that I believe. It was almost like I'm a crazy man. He took me to a disco. He said, you are not normal. You must go to discos. Just like the rest of my children, you must go to disco. So he took, then one day he said, you must go to a club, a drinking club, because everybody goes. And I said, I won't go. He said, you are going. So I had to go. So I went because I was just staying with him. I was under his care. I was under authority. So I went. And I sat there. I drank Coke. Everybody ordered beer, big one like that. And he was sending me because I'm not normal. But years later, when he spoke to me, he said, Dad, come and pray for me. You know, and I remember it was about 20 years since I was at that house when I went there. And I could see the joy. And I said, look, sometimes you change your beliefs because of people. Or you try to become like them. And then in the end, you lose. You become the fool. Because even though they are wrong, they are pressurizing you to just be like them. Why do you go to church every day? What do they do every day? Look, people who don't go to church every day, all these drinking spots, people drink. Look, Guinness is one of the largest, they have one of their largest companies in Ghana. They make a large, very large profit in Africa from Ghana. All the drinking, what do people do in the evenings? What do people do? They go drinking, they go sitting, they go talking, they go whatever, doing all sorts of things. If I go to church every day, what is wrong with it? It's a good thing. I like to go to church every day. Don't change. Later you see that you've been a fool, and you see that person will get saved. And Jesus answered and said, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water, springing up into everlasting life. Jesus was preaching. He was telling the woman, whosoever drinks of the water of boyfriends, you will be thirsty for more boyfriends. If you drink of the water of education, you will want more education. If you drink of the waters of money, you will want more money. If you drink of the waters of marriage, you will want more marriage. If you drink of the waters of almost anything, you will want more. But whosoever drinks of the water that I shall give him, he shall never thirst again. That's what Jesus told this lady in conversation. This was his discussion with her. And the woman said unto him, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. This woman was a better, easier to witness to than Nicodemus. Nicodemus never asked, give me, let me be born again. This woman said, give me the water. Some people, when you witness to them or when you chat with them, they will say, please help me. I was witnessing to a guy on a plane a couple of weeks ago. When he got to a point, he said to me, you know, I want to sleep. Even when I was talking to that minister, that government minister, everybody slept and the two of us were talking.
Then the air hostess came to say, we are sleeping. I said, do you know who this man is? I said, do you know who this man is? He's a minister of such and such and such man in my country. Then he told her, oh, don't worry, we will stop talking. We talked. You don't want to talk. The woman said, give me, pray for me, help me, show me. Not everybody will say, but some will just hear, like Nicodemus. And later, when Christ was being buried, he showed up again. And Nutre said, the thing, no, it went inside. Although he didn't say anything on the spot, the thing had entered him, and he was one of the believers. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. And then Jesus said, okay, I'll give you the water. Go and call your husband to come and drink with you. Zigzag. Jesus was going deeper. And the woman answered and said, it's personal. I want to drink the water myself. No. She opened her heart more. And she said, give me. She said, I have no husband. Jesus said, thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that sayest thou truly. Mercy. And the woman saith unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Give Jesus a mighty clap offering. Would it not be nice if you are chatting with somebody, a person says, I perceive that you are a prophet. When you talk about politics, President Kufuor, Rawlings, Mills, E.T. Mensah, and all these things, nobody would tell you, I perceive you are a prophet. They say, I perceive you are a politician. Hallelujah. I want to be like Jesus. Then he said, our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you say that Jerusalem is the place. And Jesus answered, said unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when you shall neither worship in this mountain nor yet in Jerusalem, but worship the Father. Ye worship what you know not. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Amen. Amen. This is the conversation, chats of Christ. Let me give you a warning sign as we close tonight. Grace, I need you up here. Dissociate from anybody who tells you that you are spiritual. Recently, I was with some pastors, and one of them put his hand on me and said, hey, Bishop Doug is very spiritual. I didn't like it. It was one of the comments that I hate. Do you know why? Because you are making spirituality a queer and odd thing, so that now it becomes like something bad. If somebody is spiritual, somebody prays, or somebody in his conversation opens the Bible or shares or checks scriptures or shares the word in normal life, whether at home, some of you tell your wife, you tell your husband, ah, every day the Bible says, the Bible, who else should I say, my grandmother says, my father says, my mother says, watch out for people who make you feel odd. I need to be able to be with people. There are times that I'm with people privately and I feel God's presence come. Like I was sharing the other day that Jonah went east from the presence. The presence was west when he went east. That means that the presence can be at a place and you travel to the side of the presence. So there are times, in fact, I would say that the most supernatural experiences I've had out there with a few people. When Jesus was doing miracles, he didn't say, start to sing, I'm the Lord that healed thee before any miracle. He didn't sing any song. He didn't do anything. Do you understand? There's no particular formula for the presence of God. But I tell you, this presence and the aura of God's being with you, around you. Don't let anybody make you not open the Bible or speak the Bible. Because when you start to share scriptures, I tell you, there is an anointing. The Bible says in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. When people are sharing the Word, God is there. God is there. If you have friends who don't talk Bible, I'm telling you, have bad friends, even in the church. There are a lot of shallow people, they shouldn't be close to you. I'm telling you, change them. I'm telling you, change them. People who just chat, who just talk about clothes, who just talk about money, who just talk about life, who just talk about, but they are not good friends. You must have friends in the church who share the Bible constantly. When they are even chatting, when they are relaxed, there is scripture. Scripture is coming. The Word is coming. Those are people. I'm telling you, do not let anybody say, hey, spirit, hey, you are spiritual. Hey, it's a bad comment. It's a bad comment. What else should it be? Should we be apart from spiritual? Why can I not come into a room and suddenly feel His presence? Why can I not be there and I can feel that He's not there? Why not? Why not? Why can I not feel God's presence? I must feel it. I must be able to enjoy the presence of God, the scripture, the beauty. One time I was watching Benny Hinn and he was preaching, and he became excited. He said, wow, he was reading verses and he was happy about the scriptures. What should I be happy about? What should charge me up? Look at Jesus Christ, how spiritual he was. Chatting with you in the evening, chatting with you in the afternoon, chatting with a man, chatting with a woman. The whole thing has turned into a salvation. He's now manifesting word of knowledge. In conversation, word of knowledge is coming. He said, you have had five, and the one you are with is not your husband. In that you are telling the truth. Visions. Can Saniman Alpanigos Mara Adalves? Can I not speak with tongues and prophesy when there are two of us, when there are three of us? Can I not pray before I play golf? Can I not pray before I do anything I want to do? Can I not do what I want to do in the name of Jesus? Can I not kneel down anywhere? Can I know if I cannot hold your hand and just pray with you? If I cannot just pray and I feel strange when I pray with you and I'm in the company of a wrong person. When I have to, I want to pray. Or even when you pray from your heart, how you feel about God. And you feel queer and you feel that it's out of place and the person doesn't understand what you are saying. You are with the wrong type of person as a friend in your fellowship. I'm telling you, change that person. Change that person. God, my Jesus, of the Spirit, of the water, of heaven, of God, of living waters, of waters that will become a spring of water. Why can I not share with you? Ansal hadlika masumanda. Can I not sing? Can I not laugh? Can I not rejoice in the presence of the Lord? Why is it that when I have to share something, it's like it's too deep? Why is it that when I mention the name of a prophet, you know, God has decided to bless us through apostles and prophets? It's not every minister that God has decided to raise up to bless humanity with in a certain way. The Bible says when God decided to reveal the mystery of Christ through his holy apostles and prophets. When you read the Bible, the Old Testament is written by apostles, by prophets, and the New Testament is written by apostles. All the Old Testament books are written by prophets. The New Testament is written by apostles. And even in today, it is prophets and apostles who God uses greatly to bring the mysteries of God. Prophets like Rejoinder, prophets like Kenneth Hagin, they are special prophets and Special apostles are also used. Why not? Why can I not share sweet revelations? Why can I not lift my hand and sing a song? Why is that when I lift my hand and sing my song and open my eyes, then I'll see people who are looking strange or discussing something or making phone calls or making texts? No. I came to the wrong place. I want to be with Him. I want to feel free. I want to love God. I want to talk about my God. And afterwards, somebody will say, hey, you are spiritual. I don't want that group anymore. Or somebody will say, hey, you like this too much. Hey, it seems you like soul winning. Hey, it seems you are a specialist of soul. What is the specialist of soul winning? I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear this comment that make me feel odd. And that make me feel that I'm a kind of strange person. When I love my God, I want to be with people who love God the way I love my God. If I want to give my life and I want to die serving God, I want a group that like to die and serve God. Let's go together, brother. Let's run together. We can make it. I want to be with such people. I want to have a word of knowledge and share. I want to share mysteries and secrets. I want to talk about the secret of Christ, the mysteries of Christ, the mysteries of God. I need people who like such things, who can be in my presence and in my company and not feel that, I mean, I'm doing something. Hey, mena hey, mystical. Why do you call me mystical? When I'm looking at the things of the Spirit, why do you say I'm mystical? What words are these? What things are you describing me as? Why? Now, I want to be in His presence. I want to be able to close my eyes. And feel. Benny Hinn talks about Catherine Kuma. He says she used to preach for 2 hours. Everybody would sleep. Most everybody would be asleep, but she'd be preaching. Then at a point, she'd just turn and say, just a minute. Then she felt the presence of God has come. Everybody would wake up. Suddenly, something has come. I want to be with people who can feel that something has come. He said, He has come. He has come. Because you can go east or west of the presence. Or the presence can go west or east of you. But how come you there? You never know when the presence of God is there or not there. It's only fufu, banku, and all those things that you feel. I want to chat. Scriptures. Scripture chat. My best friend when I was in school, that was the game we used to call it Pelon B. Race. I don't know if he came to church tonight. Are you here? Huh? You are here. But I tell you, we used to, our friendship was on scriptures. Scriptures. The word. Not newspapers. Graphic. I love my Jesus. And I also love my pastors. The people that God has given to. I don't want to be with people who feel, hey, you have made this man into a god. You should not be near that person. Because the more open you are to your pastor, and the more just simple and clear you are, the more you will receive. I want to be. The reason why people, sometimes, one time I met some big American pastors, and I mentioned something about Rick Joyner. Then they quoted some scripture and then said some verse. I said, hey, it was like a vision of a clam. Do you see a clam? Which, like the shells are like this. And the shells could have been open, but the shells are closed. So it's like you cannot receive anything. Because of certain scriptures and familiarity. I want to be open. I want to be free. I want to talk scriptures. And when I meet unbelievers, don't tell me that I'm frightening them. I'm like Jesus. I want to be like Jesus. Stand to your feet and worship Him. Father, we thank you for your blessing tonight. We thank you for your Spirit. Thank you for your Holy Word. Thank you.
You will not be an extremist from tonight, because you are not an extremist. You are just going to be like Jesus. Serve God, love God, do what God says. Mando semericos, manalides. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Father, we thank you tonight for your presence, your spirit. It is wonderful to know you, to love you. We will be like you. Hallelujah. Look at me, everybody, for a moment. Do you realize that I've been trying to preach about Jesus? I preach about what? Christ and his estimate of a soul. And what does I preach about Christ? The carpenter. Christ the carpenter. The childhood of Jesus. The stirrings. The sensitivity of Christ. And what else? Yes. And I'm trying to preach to you about the conversation when Christ is chatting. What is it like? Grace, when Christ is chatting, see how it's like. Jerry, owner, discussions here. Lift your hand. How many want to be like Jesus? I really want to be like Jesus Christ. Lift your hand. Be like Jesus. Father, bless all these wonderful ones. We really want to be like you. We don't want anybody to make us feel strange, awkward, or odd, or over spiritual, or over something. No, Lord. No, 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 no. When we talk about the Spirit, when we have words of knowledge, and when we sing songs, and when we speak in tongues, we do not want to be told we are spiritual, or we are too deep, or too far, or too strange, or too something, Lord. Keep us in the right company, oh God. Let us serve you. Lord, please use us to win souls. Give us our own women of Samaria. Give us our own Nicodemuses, Lord. Cause us, oh God, to meet them and to have conversation and discussions about eternity. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we love you. We praise you. We thank you. And we pledge before next Tuesday, we shall have several conversations, discussions about you, oh God. Because if we don't talk about you, we have missed the point. We thank you for your blessing today. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Close your eyes for a moment. If you are here tonight, you are not born again. You want to say, Pastor, please pray for me. Pray with me. I want to give my life to God. I want to give my life to Jesus. Pastor, pray with me. Maybe somebody invited you to church, but in your heart you know you are far from God. Pastor, please pray with me. Help me to know God. If you are here like that, just lift up your right hand. Just your right hand. And I'm going to pray with you. God bless you. Lift it up high. Upstairs, anywhere, wherever you are, at the back. God bless you. If you've lifted your hand, it's very important. I need you to come to me from where you are standing. Just come from the back, come from upstairs, come from anywhere. Come to the front here. I want to pray with you over here. Jesus, I wanna be more like you. God bless you. God bless you. Oh, is that your estimate of a soul? One soul, two souls, three souls. God bless you for coming. God bless you for coming. Four souls. Oh, come, come. Come, little girl, come. Come, little girl, come. Come, little girl, come. Come, little girl, come. Five souls. Six souls. Oh, wonderful. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Seven souls. Eight souls. Oh, hallelujah. Wonderful. Hallelujah. I want to and I need to be like Jesus. How many know that we want to be more like Jesus? Are you coming? Come. Oh. Oh, more souls. How old are you? 8 years old. And why have you come? Why have you come?
I have come to. I want to be born again.
You want to be born again. Wow. She wants to be born again. Oh. Why don't you give Jesus a mighty, 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 mighty clap offering? I want to be born again. What's your name?
Emanuela.
Emanuela. Oh. Oh. Is it not wonderful? Lift your hands. I'm going to help you to be born again. Do you all want to be born again? All right. Just close your eyes and pray with me. Say, Jesus. Tonight, I want to be born again. Please help me. I realize that I am a sinner. Please forgive me for all my sins, for all my mistakes. Tonight, I receive Jesus as my Savior. Oh God, please wash me in the blood of Jesus. Oh God, please cleanse me with the blood of Jesus of all my sins. From tonight, from today, I give my heart, I give my soul, I give my everything to Jesus Christ. Oh God, please write my name in the book of life. From tonight, I will serve the Lord. From tonight, I will follow Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Now say, Satan.
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 From tonight, it's over.
From tonight,
I will no longer serve you. Satan, from tonight, I will no longer obey you. For Christ has set me free. And I'm free. I'm free. I'm free. I am born again. From today, in Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah.
God bless you for listening to this message. Visit www.daghewardmills.org today for more audio and video messages, information on upcoming events, and so much more. Make sure you subscribe to this podcast to receive new messages every single day. And remember, God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind.